Hello and welcome to an all new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience. I am your host, Lisa Ann, and I would like to extend my gratitude to you for making me a part of your listening experience. I have been going down the rabbit hole of the incredible podcast that I never get to catch up on due to the fact that 12 to 3 is Pat McAfee 5 days a week. And if I miss it, I listen to it later. Then the wrestling and then the college game day. So I'm pretty busy, right? Well, McAfee's show has been off for a week and a half now, so I've gotten to get caught up on a bunch of episodes on other shows, and I will tell you, there's a lot of damn good content out there. The fact that you're here is fucking awesome, so thank you so much. Today, I have a guest. We've had back-to-back solo episodes, and if you've been paying attention, there has been a little turbulence, a lot of calm, and now here we are at that place where the dust settles and the great things really start to surface to the top again. Because when you stay inspired and when you have a positive attitude and mindset, you already know that it's around the corner. So as this past week flew by, like I feel like I was just sitting here talking to you. Like it flew by and I got to enjoy the YouTube live premiere, which that's the video component of this episode. That lands on my YouTube channel every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. I sit in the chat and it's just a cool time to catch up with my community. It kind of like closes out the work week and I really enjoy it. I get to do it sometimes. There's times I miss because maybe I'm at an Exotica or doing an event. There's 4 of those a year. But when I get to do that, kind of wraps it all up. I will sit here with you this Friday at 8 p.m. for my chat. And while we were in there going through those last 2 weeks, I could not yet share my pure excitement of what was coming this week. There was the flying by of the week because I stayed incredibly busy with the good stuff that I've got going on and some extra stuff that I've added into my life. So everyone knows from my wellness series that I did last year here on my podcast, a big advocate of the morning workout, big advocate of the post-morning workout meditation in the sauna. And then, of course, there's the hopping out midday to go to cryo, setting in some hyperbaric chamber visits, which is my new favorite thing. And all of this, I've also added in some classes at night. So we have classes here at my building, yoga, core conditioning. I've been doing the Wednesday core conditioning since December. Every Wednesday, I only missed one when I was skiing. I added in the yoga. You really think that yoga looks easy until you get this instructor that just kicks your ass, but it's one of those things that's so challenging. You know, the core conditioning of it and the, this isn't going to be that difficult. And halfway through, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so sore tomorrow. It's added in like an extra level of just like, I know there's going to be times where I'm traveling through the year. I'll be in Vegas March 22nd for March Mayhem. And I know those are usually times where like I always pack gym clothes and I do try to get in a stretch or something in the morning. But what I'd like to do is be able to do yoga on my own in the hotel room. And also know that those are times where I sometimes take a day or two off from working out. So while I am anchored at home and I have access to the Pelotons at my gym and all the things that I love, I am just taking more time for health and wellness than ever. Almost like I'm looking at this off season between travels and the things that I'll be getting into this year. And I'm looking at it as a time to really recharge and just live in like this optimal space of feeling my absolute best. So that's been carrying me through being incredibly busy, because part of being busy is also taking that time for me, making sure that I am allowing myself those hours in the morning, making sure I give myself that hour break in the daytime to go out and hit cryo, maybe a little bit longer if I'm going to do an hour in the chamber. It's like all of these little things add up, and it's been great to take what I thought about the week between Christmas and New Year's was about being more deliberate with my time and being able to put that into action. So one of the things with the same being deliberate with my time was I really need to shoot more white backdrop promo photos. And those are the photos that I would use to do all of my flyers. These are the photos that I send to clubs that they will then put into their flyers to promote. They have to be high res photos, easiest on white backdrop. And I've only ever shot white backdrop in LA. So I would always go back and shoot with Holly. You know, I'd always go back. It was just a habit. And we rented a studio here in the city to shoot a commercial for Ultra Farm RX. And I produced that commercial and I brought Kay up from Nashville and I had Allie doing makeup and I had Jess there as assisting. And it didn't even still register with me. I should be working with a photographer in New York City. It is such a hassle to fly out. I'm talking about being deliberate with my time. When I'm doing these shoots, I break them down into three segments. So the first segment is going to be all fitness and casual look. It's a lighter makeup. It's the fitness gear, and that all goes in one suitcase. And I'll have some props, you know, some yoga blocks, some other things, all in one suitcase. Second suitcase is more casual wear. This time I have a really great purple suit that I wanted to wear. I'm looking to rebrand the podcast and use a new photo. And so I wanted something sharp and I did an olive green suit and all of that stuff is packed in the second suitcase. And the third suitcase is like nightclub attire, outfits that I would be wearing to promote other things, club events, exotica, what have you. So that's three suitcases of just wardrobe. And I've always done it. I've been like, no problem. I'll just go out to California and do it. And a couple of years ago, I worked with Adrian Armas through Fleshlight for shooting some new photos, and he's here in New York City. And so as I'm like, I had reached out to Holly, what dates are good for you? Then I'm looking at my dates and nothing's really going to work. And as funny as life works out, he pops up on my IG feed. And I'm like, wait a minute, why am I not working with my crew here? I have Allie for makeup. I have Jess to assist. I have Adrian. Like, why am I not doing this? So went on to Peer Space. I booked a corner studio. I wanted as much natural light as possible. And as I started digging in and looking at all of these different studios, I realized this is something I truly love to do. I love to produce content. And when you think of content, you might just think of like scenes, movies, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I love to produce photos. I love to produce little content that I can make into reels. I love to play dress up and have my makeup done and do all the whole thing of it. And I also like the business aspect of being a mover and a shaker, right? Here I am. I now meet my host, Peer Space. I'm chatting with him about the little things that I will need. I like a fan because sometimes it's great to blow your hair back when you're doing photos. It's very Beyonce. You know, I want a white roller board. They always charge a little bit for that because then they tear it off. You get a fresh one, which makes your pictures so nice and clean. And it's simple. And then I get the dates. Everybody's good. I've got my team. I'm going to assemble. And I figured, okay, well, the big studio day is going to be Monday, which was yesterday, and it was awesome. We had so much fun. And I figured, okay, since I haven't shot with Adrian since 2021, haven't had makeup done by Allie since 2021, why don't I book a cool hotel and do some photos just for social media that would just be random photos? We all get more comfortable with each other, just kind of an easing into this big day because these white backdrop days are big days. There are a lot of wardrobe changes. There are a lot of work and they're pretty boring to shoot because you're just straight on white backdrop. Like, you know, there's really not a lot of, you can really do, can't really draw outside the lines. So we did. Allie, I got a nice room, nice suite. Allie came and did my makeup Saturday morning. As soon as she was finished, Adrian shows up, comes in. We get to shoot some things outside. The weather got nice. You'll start seeing, I dropped a little fitness look on my Instagram this morning at The Real Lisa Ann. And I realized like that is the way to do it. If you want to do something that's very important to you, sometimes spending a little bit more money and getting that extra day for everyone to vibe and for everybody to get back on super comfortable with each other. I know that I can come off a little scary at times. I'm not afraid to admit that. I know that. I get that from my grandmother. That's fine. And I don't want that for a photographer or a makeup artist. I want everybody to be at their maximum comfort. So I just thought putting this together would be great. But here's the thing. When I'm planning a shoot on Saturday at a hotel and I'm packing that stuff up on Friday, I am like packing all of these bags for different looks, get to the hotel, unpack everything, set it up. Okay. Shoot the whole day. Okay. Then I shot a bunch of cameos. Then I shot a couple messages from my OnlyFans. I shot some new photos for my OnlyFans. I do some self-shooting. I did a live stream, which I do once a month at Lisa Ann Fans. Just a way to stay connected with my following and just a way to really engage with a large volume of people at one time. It's super fun. It's almost like hosting an event. I'm just hosting a show. And so I do all of that. in this beautiful hotel room. And I get back on Sunday morning. I'm like, okay, now I've got to unpack all of this. And what I need for the white backdrop shoot on Monday is totally different. So I've got to repack. And I was on a mission. I was like, all right, I'll just listen to some Rogan episodes. I'll just dig in. I'll get it done. Booked myself a 4 o'clock massage that day. And so Sunday was get everything ready. Everything was perfectly packed. I had cards written out for exactly what was in each suitcase, so my team could be putting things away as we no longer needed them. And by the time we were done with the shoot, my wardrobe was pretty much packed. It was really, really a great system. And then I went to get a massage and I decided like Sundays are a night that I really enjoy for some reason watching TV in bed. Going to bed early, like 8, watching TV in bed. I wanted to be well rested to get up early and manage this big day and have everybody. I want to be at my full, like my best night's sleep. And I like to text my friends on Sunday nights, like people that I don't get to catch up with or people that maybe I saw them pop up on my feed on IG. And I'm like, yeah, it's nice to leave something on somebody's message on IG, but it's not the same as texting. So just sit in bed, catch up, talk to Adam for a little bit, you know, just texting back and forth. Such a great way to close out the weekend. And I think social media has made us forget. Like we think, okay, I see what my friends are doing and I see them and you forget like, no, I should still text. Our one-on-one connections. Remember last year I had the Best Friends podcast, Matt Ritter and his best friend. It was such a great podcast. And I really thought about what they talked about was that lack of connection that people are feeling and how do we do it? Well, by being more deliberate with my time and not taking the flight out to California and having to load all of this into a hotel and rent a rental car and do all of that, I was able to reel it back in, do that massage at 4, get the shower, the sauna, be in bed at 8. I was in bed with a big bowl of edamame, one of my favorite snacks. I will steam the entire bag, frozen bag of edamame, and I will just sit there. It's not going to hurt me. It's not like I'm eating a bag of chips. I know there's more than one per portion in that bag, but I'm eating the whole thing, a little bit of salt, okay? And I'm just going to drink a ton of water and be texting with my people. And it's just being more deliberate is already paying off because I'm seeing how I'm finding my space to not just think about work, but to think about how much I want to connect with my people this year. Seeing my friends out west and skiing for a couple of days and being with their dogs and being in their community and then coming back to the city was almost jarring. The city's a bit insane right now. We all know how crazy it is. And it's just you go back and forth and you realize there's a different awe that you feel, a different sense of relaxation, a different sense of calm. And I am in the city. This is where I live. This is where I exist right now. So the goal is to find that sense of calm here. So by being more deliberate, I'm able to factor in times of calm, which feel really good. You're going to see a lot of cool photos going from yesterday's white backdrop shoot. I'll probably start having them out next week, but Jess was also there shooting behind the scenes reels and some really fun stuff. So you'll get some cool video content from this as well. But what really was great was remembering how good it feels to be in a spot where I have that production, you know, back info of what I need to do and how I need to connect and to bring a team together. And there's times like, and Jess took some great behind the scenes photos where I'm like looking at Adrian's camera after a couple of photos and we're talking. Just to see how you bring people together, even in a workspace, can be so incredibly bonding and fun. And when you look at these photos, you remember that day. That's something I really enjoyed about the industry, was just being able to go back and remember and look back at different things and connect with different people. And so here I am, finally mimicking my LA life in New York to maximum potential, but bringing it into my mainstream aspect, whereas in California, it was more adult stuff. Even though I have gone out to shoot with Holly multiple times for just photos, we did my book cover in 2015. We did my 50th birthday photos. Like we've done a ton of stuff and Holly will always be my number one. Holly Randall is magical. She is so talented. She's so incredible. But I have to think of myself and I also have to think about creating an income for others in my local community. So by not taking that business out to LA, I'm able to build a relationship with this awesome host at Peer Space, who I emailed last night and said, this is my new favorite studio. The corner unit gave us so much great natural light. It was just enough space. And when you're shooting in New York, what's interesting is if you're not up high enough, it's very loud. Now, we really didn't need sound for video, but it was quiet enough and it was enjoyable up there. It was on the 22nd floor. But to know that, like, okay, now I've got this relationship built. So when I want to shoot something else, I know exactly what studio I'm going to go to. I'm going to reach out to this host. It's just about funny thing about being here since 2019 full time. I never really established everything because we went right into the pandemic and then we went right into trying to catch up with all of our people. And now I feel like more than ever, after being home for 2 months straight, December and January, which is the most I've been home in this for, you know, 30, 60 days, the most I've been here in this apartment since I've lived here, the most I've been in New York since I've lived here, even during the pandemic. So for me, this has been very grounding and it's given me that feeling of like, okay, I really am like working on my new life here and I'm really like building my team together. We had a lot of laughs on set. We shot a lot of cool stuff. I brought a bunch of props. So of course, you know, I want to shoot with like a football. So next year I'm doing some football talk. I have football photos to send to people. I wanted to do a basketball and I realized I have a football because the first night at Sapphire's Thursday Night Football, there were so many props everywhere and there were a bunch of footballs. And I said to the manager, like, what are you guys going to do with these? He's like, I have no idea. I'm like, I'm ganking one. So I took home that football and then I used it as a prop for the Sapphire Las Vegas Monday Night Minutes I did. So I was like, yesterday morning, I have the three suitcases with the wardrobe that I mentioned earlier. I have a small suitcase with all of my like backup makeup, chargers, all of this, and then just my purse. And of course, a case of Liquid Death, because you can't go anywhere without a case of Liquid Death. Grab the case of Liquid Death. And as I'm leaving, I'm like, my gosh, I've got March Mayhem coming up March 22nd in Las Vegas. It's basketball season. I need a basketball. Luckily, have a basketball court in my building. So I went downstairs, took the basketball, went up to the front desk to get a cart. And I said, look, I'm not stealing this basketball, but I am borrowing this basketball for a shoot today and I will return it, which I did as soon as I got back. But it tied that all in. And I just realized like how fun that day of work was for me and how much I still really, truly love to create. And now I'm just finding my spaces and where I can create different things that I can share with you. It's just something I have a lot of passion for. So it made my week really exciting. And after the shoot last night, I told everybody we were leaving, I will not do anything till all these bags are unpacked and everything is put away because I cannot live in yesterday tomorrow. So I want to know that tomorrow morning when I wake up, everything is where it's supposed to be. Suitcases are back in storage and I can get back on my game. And all I got to do now is wait for these beautiful pictures to arrive to me. So it was a wrap. And by the time I got to bed last night, another very early night, I'm sorry, I value my sleep. Okay. And I like to get up early, but I was like, if I lay, you know, when you're tired enough that you know if you lay down in your living room, you sit on your couch for one TV show, it's going to be it. You're going to fall asleep there. Then you're going to have to wake up, take yourself. No, I don't want to do that. Did the shower, got myself ready. And I just got right into bed again around 8 o'clock and really was just looking through all the behind the scenes videos and photos that Jess took and kind of recapping the day and realizing how absolutely lucky I am to have met so many great people and to have this like drive to create and then love it. Another thing I love is doing my show with Brett Raybould, and that brings me to today's guest. So we are back, SiriusXM. We have 20 more shows we're going to be putting together. We're going to record 10 and they will release over a 10-week span. Then they will replay those 10 while we are recording our other 10. And exciting news in this new contract is the fact that SiriusXM is going to build a live show for Brett Raybould, myself, and our producer, Paul Ofsharsky. We will all be there together, a live show at the New York Comedy Festival, which is in November. So like big things are happening. And earlier I mentioned like, yeah, a little bit of chaos. And then when you have the positive mindset, you know the goodness is just coming in. All this goodness is coming in. We are back in studio starting next week. I am so excited. And one of the things that's been unique about this is working with our producer, Paul. Paul is probably the most driven producer I've ever met and goes way beyond all of those clips that Paul put together. That was Paul's time, like hours of Paul's time. And these clips were amazing. So I'm just so grateful. And I wanted to know more about Paul's story. I got to meet Paul's twin brother. We went to WWE together the day after Christmas, which was awesome. And I wanted you to get to know Paul. Like, what does it take to be a producer for a company like SiriusXM? He's been there 9 years. How did he get there? There's so many unique stories within SiriusXM itself. Sam Roberts is one of the most fascinating stories. Sam has a show every morning with Jim Norton. He is a fascinating story, but I did not know that he was going to tie right in here to the story with Paul. So now it is up to you. You get to meet my producer of Better Halves with Brett Raybould, Paul Ofsharsky. Here we are, another episode and a great conversation. Sometimes I feel like podcasts can be almost a bit of a job fair. And for those of you that don't kind of look into other situations, the curious mind behind my producer, Paul Ofsharsky, which I can never pronounce properly, from SiriusXM as of 9 years this January, does amazing things, has interviewed absolutely everybody. And I am so lucky, Paul, that you are my producer for Better Halves with Brett Raybould on SiriusXM Raw Comedy Channel 99. It is great to have you today.
Well, it's nice to be here. It's like my first actual interview.
Really? I mean, you're always interviewing. I watch all of your clips on social. You're always having conversations, but you're never the one being interviewed?
No. I would say this is probably the first interview maybe I've ever had.
Because I find there's so many questions. Like, one of the first things I have to ask you is, when you're put into a room with two new hosts, I'll use Brett and I for an example. How do you know when the chemistry is going to stick? Because I'm sure you've seen in 9 years at SiriusXM, a lot of shows come and go. A lot of people vibe and not vibe. But how do you know when that magic is actually going to be something like what we've already created with Better Halves?
It's interesting. It's just one small thing that could click, and then you kind of go off with it. It's like when we do our news stories. It's like, all right, this is the general news story, but let's dig a little deeper and go a little deeper. And then you see how you and Brett riff with it. You're like, okay, this is a good match. Everyone's bouncing off each other. We're letting everybody talk. We're not stomping all over each other, and it's working.
Because there's a big chemistry link between the producer and talent. And I think for those who just listen to shows or watch shows on YouTube, they don't really understand the dynamic of how much work is behind the scenes. And that would be you when it comes to gathering all of the news stories, when it comes to putting together kind of a little bit of a show rundown, editing the clips and getting everything out there. How many hours do you put into each show that you're preparing? Because you do multiple shows on SiriusXM.
Oh, yeah. God. I mean, it used to be long, much longer hours, because I used to work on Opie with Jim Norton. And I would set up my rinky-dink cameras on tripods in the corner of the studio, record a full four-hour show, then do the little bit of the work after, go back home and start editing it, syncing, then editing, then processing it, and then uploading it to send. And they're all like, well, what's taking so long? I was like, well, this is a process. Four different camera angles, 4 hours of material, and then hopefully it syncs with the audio just so it sounds good.
And the process of that that people don't realize takes so long is just taking cards out of computers, out of your cameras, and putting them into the upload-download process, like all of this. That can be hours. So you get home, you start that process, and you do other things, because there's nothing you can really do on your computer while all of this is taking place.
Oh, yeah. It basically just has to sit there and rest, because like you said, when you pull it off the cards, you have to import it into the editing system. And so then it has to cycle through everything. It could be a real headache at times. And that's why I consistently have to find better computers that can process the length of footage that I have.
It's also a lot of content management. I mean, you can't keep everything on your computers. You've got to be loading on hard drives. You've got to be labeling everything precisely. All of that. Is this something that you knew of when you started this with SiriusXM 9 years ago?
No, it just kind of came along. I mean, I actually first got the job. I was working a local radio station that I interned at. It was a classic rock station, and they had an alternative. And I started they had a concert, they bring in artists, and they had a radio theater, so I would record that and edit it. And then luckily enough, I was a fan of Opie and Anthony, and I was listening to them constantly. Their producer, Sam Roberts, was doing like a little side solo show. And for the first one he promoted, he posted up a graphic. And I was like, that kind of looks like shit. So I just kind of made my own. And then every week he would announce who's coming on. So I would be on Twitter. I was on Twitter sending it to him. So then we start DMing each other. And he's like, well, how do we repay you for this? And I was like, I'm working local radio. Just let me know when something opens up.
That is an incredible story, because Sam Roberts is a great story with SiriusXM. I mean, he started doing so many other things, and now he's one of the greatest voices in the morning on Fraction Talk with Jim Norton. To watch the progress of Sam Norton, to think that Sam had an integral part of your existence with Sirius is wild, because you have a common ground. You both love wrestling.
Oh yeah. And when I was doing the like graphics for him, I kind of met him at local or indie wrestling shows, because I had friends who were indie wrestlers, and for a time I was training for indie wrestling. So at that time too, I remember my buddies knew Tommy Dreamer, who's also a host on Busted Open on SiriusXM. So we were going to his wrestling school, and then TNA Wrestling was doing shows at the Manhattan Center. We would go up and just whatever we could do to help, we would set the ring up, carry the cage down, put on medical gloves, clean up the blood on the ring between matches and stuff. And then it became a thing where it was like, oh, you've taken a bump before, right? Yeah. All right, you're going to be security tonight, and we're going to have this new female that we're trying to build up kick your ass on TV. Absolutely fine. And then through there, if funny enough, Sam Roberts was in the audience that night at the Manhattan Center. I got my ass kicked.
Were you getting paid for this stuff, Paul?
Oh, yeah. I acted as security, came out 10 seconds on screen, got a nice little check, and had to stay in the back for the rest of the night because I had to sell the injury.
This is amazing. I mean, this is a just a conglomeration of short stories that lead up to this like magical everything that's taken place. I love the creativity behind all of it. And I think when we all first got on Twitter, people were super helpful like that. I myself remember putting out some graphics and having fans immediately tweet me back and go, can I fix this for you? And I'm like, well, yeah, sure. Like, what can I send you? An 8x10 or whatever. And there was a lot of trade that was going on back then. I think when you look at 2009, when I got really into Twitter, I think we were looking at this as like, this is the greatest networking tool ever. And people were really making connections. You made a connection with Sam Roberts by just saying, I want to do this. This guy's cool. I'm a fan. I enjoy what he does. And here it is. That was commonplace. I don't see that happening very much anymore.
No, I see more of it is more just advertisements and like, I mean, self-promotion, it was always that, but it's just more of, it's too much of a flow of advertisements and what they've done with the algorithm, where it's like, you're not getting an exact timeline. I just want to scroll through a timeline and see things in a chronological order, and not just, oh, well, you might like this. Here's this put up front.
Yeah, I'm the idiot that every once in a while sees somebody's birthday post and then sends them a text. They're like, that was 4 days ago. And I'm like, I have no idea how, but it just arrived on my Twitter feed. So I'm so sorry that I'm late. You're right. The chronological order is like so incredibly different. You also produce other podcasts and work with a great amount of people. I recently saw you talking with, she goes by, it's Olivia, but she goes by Oliviate on social media because she cooks.
Yeah. Yeah. She has a big TikTok and like Instagram Reels little cooking thing that she does. And it blew up quickly for her, which is awesome. And somehow we were able to get her on and talk about her methods. And I really want to pick her brain on her music selection that she has, because she has a really good playlist that she includes in her cooking videos.
She does a great job with the videos. I don't know how she landed on my feed, but as soon as she did, I kept watching thoroughly. So then the algo kept feeding it to me.
It's with you forever now.
It's with you forever. But you know what I love about this is we're tapping into something on TikTok and Instagram of just teaching people how to cook. And the way these are now, like, you used to have to watch a whole YouTube video that was like 20 minutes or read a whole cookbook. And now it's like, oh, in 3 minutes, you're going to give me all the most important things that I need to know. And I'm going to be able to make this.
I actually, during the pandemic, got more into like looking up cooking recipes more on YouTube. And I made a Gordon Ramsay Cajun breakfast sandwich that I made.
Was it good?
Yeah, it came out good. I just couldn't find the exact kind of like ham he was using in the market. But it was a lot of Old Bay on it, which was good, with a nice egg on top.
So you currently are in the Poconos, which brings another connection with you and I when we first started really talking, because I have that Pennsylvania background. Poconos, like, I picture how much more snow you have than us. You come in and out of the city, and you drive. How far is that for you to get from the Poconos to New York City?
Exactly 2 hours door to door.
Okay. 2 hours. And you'd rather do that drive than live in the city is what I'm picking up.
Well, I mean, it's more affordable out here than it is the city. And I don't know. I lived in Brooklyn for a little bit and then Staten Island. It just mind boggles me that Staten Island to New York could be a 2 hour ride. And I'm like, well, I could just go home for that.
Yeah, that's the truth. What made you choose the Poconos?
Oh, just where I grew up.
So born this is the... You and your twin brother grew up not far from me, and we were probably playing some of the same schools and teams in sports. Mind you, you're much younger, but in that area, some of our bus rides to play basketball were 45 minutes long. What sports did you play growing up back there?
I did football and track. Granted, I wasn't the football star. The twin was the football star. I got nominated high school captain, but I think it was just out of pity votes. And then track, he overshadowed me as well, but I was always very close behind.
Well, I'm really glad that I got to meet the twin this year when he was in town for Christmas. I couldn't imagine going to another WWE event without at least you or both of you, because you two gave me the backstory of everything I needed to know, who was coming out, what their word was or their action, or... You really elevated my experience, because I felt like I was getting a real... We not only do we have great seats, but just getting the 411 of what I'm behind on was very important.
And if I had a little few more drinks, I would have been a little more rowdy too.
I love all of it. That's...
Well, also, I want to be respectful from the rows that we're in, because I was like, oh, I don't know whose families are next to us, so I don't want to get too rowdy. I have to be respectful because we want to get those seats again.
Yeah, we for sure do want to get those seats again. So back to you in studio and you producing. Can you give me a top five list to this day of who you've gotten to interview? I see you have a Ricky Gervais picture behind you. I see all of the things. And for everyone who's listening, but then we'll watch on YouTube, we'll see these. Who have been the absolute favorite people you've been able to meet so far?
Well, that's a funny point, too, because the Ricky Gervais stuff, I was listening to his podcast in my dorm room in college, and then through the connect through Sam, the Opie Radio afternoon show was no more, and then 2 weeks after that, we were recording a pilot with Ricky for a SiriusXM show in that July, and then that September, we're flying out to London for the first time to record shows with him.
How awesome was that for you?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Like I said, I'm sitting in my dorm room listening to the old podcast and the original Office show. And now I'm going over there to London to do and produce radio shows with him. It's unbelievable.
And how was he to work with?
Oh, he's fantastic. We still talk. We're just over there and we meet up. We have lunch and stuff. We like to talk comedy.
Okay. Who's his favorites right now?
I don't know right now, but he always says one of his all-time favorites is Patrice O'Neill.
Okay.
And I've noticed too, like, a lot of, when comedians pass away too, I mean, some of them I never heard of, but then you go in deep dives of them and you get a new profound respect of them. And then, I mean, it's fresh jokes too. You're hearing everything. I've done that with Patrice. I did a deep dive on, and Patrice was just the best storyteller of jokes. And then Norm Macdonald, too, who was just an expert at making like things awkward in one-liners.
It is fascinating in the comedy space how there's a different detail to everyone, right? And what you just said kind of explains that. You've watched the show Hacks, right?
I have not yet.
Oh, you will love it. You have to watch it. It's about a resident comedian in Vegas. She hires a writer from LA. It's a great really depiction of what is going through when you're writing new material, when you're trying it out, when you're trying new material in different places, even just in the US, there's a different sense of humor.
Yeah. And I've interviewed a British comedians and I've asked, like, so what's the main difference between British and American comedy? And I mean, British comedy kind of has a more overall all theme and purpose and kind of goes back to, where it's almost like you're in like a TED talk, but it's a very funny TED talk instead of just American comedy, which some comedians do that, but a lot of them are just like hit.
I would say that like Larry David would be one that would do that. When we watched Seinfeld, it kind of all circled back to that initial, what was the funny point that opened the show? All right, so there's one. Who's number two that you've interviewed that's just been mind-blowing to you?
I mean, between interviewing and just being a producer from there since 2015, I mean, I always get starstruck when Tarantino's up there. I haven't had the chance to interview him yet, but I would love to do that. Jay Leno was also a really, really cool guy. I love it when you can have a massive celebrity walk in with no people with him, put his little briefcase down, take off his jacket, and just go, so what are we talking about today? And that's how he did
that it. That is incredible. Right, yeah, because, I mean, the hustle and bustle at SiriusXM when there's somebody, a celebrity in there, they have like 9 PR people with them. And remember, before the pandemic, they'd do the junket in the morning where they'd go like one studio to the other. And you'd have one PR person looking at you, you know, with the watch thing because they've got to roll on. There was so much pressure. And you're just trying to look at this person and enjoy the conversation. But there's all these people trying to get your attention.
I've had that a couple times on the interviews, but I just kind of like tone them out and they're just standing in the background. I'm just going to completely forget about them because that also adds an extra nerve to me. I like it when it's just me and the individual and they're like outside the studio, but if they come inside, I'm like, all right, I just got to grit my teeth and deal it. But I definitely feel like sweat dripping down my back legitimately when it happens.
Yeah, it's harder. It's distracting. You never really can fully engage, right? Sometimes they're moving or they make a little bit of noise, and it does in a space where sound is so important to all of us. It's cringy when you hear something. You're like, oh, even though it's not going to pick up on the mics, but what have you. That's fascinating. So who else would you really like to interview or have in studio?
I mean, I've had a lot of, surprisingly enough, I've had a lot of country music singers, and they've gone very well too. I had Steve-O. I really enjoyed having Steve-O in studio. And it's a thing too that I don't want to like it to boost my ego or anything, but I've had like the PR people after go, oh, that's really good. You did your research. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're giving me your time. So I'm going to do a deep dive and listen to the full album. I have a guest tomorrow that I'm going to try and do 3 seasons of episodes to watch just so I have a full understanding. It could be like, so back in season one, it was this. Season two, now season three. I had Shanola Hampton on for her show Lost on NBC. And it's really good. I recommend watching it. It's her and Mark Paul Gosselaar. They confirmed the interview the day before. So I was like, all right, I sat and watched 11 one-hour episodes just so I knew the exact full story of what we were going to have.
But you know, Paul, that says something about you as a person. Not only do you love what you do, you want to be good at it and you want to make the people feel included that it was important. I love what you said there. Hey, you're giving me your time. I want to do the research. I love when I get to interview an author for my podcast because I tell everybody, sorry, I got to read this book cover to cover. And I like, it's like a homework project that you enjoy. And it is a compliment. Someone who's written 2 books and done a ton of interviews where you know, they didn't read 3 pages. They didn't even open it up and say, I'll talk about page 81. They don't do it. And there's something really special behind those of us. Also, it's something fun to do. Like if you like what you do, watching a season or two of a show to really get in the moment, it's fun, right?
Yeah, it's that thing too, where it's like they're here and not only are they giving me their time, but like some people have asked me, so did you ask them about this and did you ask them about that? I was like, well, no, they're here to talk about this. So I kind of want to just stay on this. If I get some time after or if it's winding down and I have time, all right, then I'll throw in it. But I usually mainly want to like stick to like, hey, they're here to promote this. Let's just talk about that.
And as someone that's doing that junket, we take that as such a compliment because we know what our responsibility is to promote. We know why we're there. And it just keeps things flowing. And also reminds you when you're going back for something else, oh, I really liked that show, or oh, I really didn't like the other show. Like you will give that person first priority because they went out of their way and they did allow you to promote what you were there for and they did learn about you. So it's like bringing it all together and making it a special place in studio. I find it to be such an intimate setting. I listen to a lot of things and I watch some, but I like to listen to a lot of things. Are you still more of a radio or podcast listener, or do you watch on YouTube?
A little bit of all three of them, really. Like if I'm doing a workout, I'll throw on Rogan on the, because when I work out, I can look at it right on the TV. If it's a long drive, radio, podcast.
It's
a balance of everything.
Yeah, but I think listening really gives you that vibe of being in studio. Like for us, you can actually picture it when you're driving and you're just listening to a show. Like if you're listening to Jim and Sam, you are picturing that studio.
Oh, yeah. And I've listened to them. Like if I'm driving to Milwaukee, it's a 12-hour drive. I'll turn on Jim and Sam right at 8, and I'm like, okay, for the next 4 hours, I don't have to worry about the road because my mind's going to be thinking and just listening and picturing what's going on.
How often do you make that 12-hour drive to see your brother? That's 12 hours, man.
I just got back from a few days ago after a flight from London. I mean, it's not that bad anymore. Like I said, I found ways to like tune my brain out and drive it wisely where I'm getting a second wind when I'll leave at midnight so I could hit it, the sun hitting up right at halfway. So then that gives me another boost to drive on through.
It's smart and it's just less aggravating. I mean, let's face it, a flight is quicker, but it's only half the amount of time by the time you have to get to the airport if you're checking a bag, what have you. And there's a lot of variables on a flight. We all see the news right now of people like going crazy on flights, people trying to open doors on planes. Like it does seem smarter. You know, in the 70s, we drove everywhere, no one flew. It does seem smarter that we're getting back to like, you know, it's not a bad drive. I'll just do it. It's less aggravating.
Oh, God, yeah. And the main thing that I always see on flights is I just can't stand overhead bins. I think they should get rid of them because I don't think the people should walk back to put their luggage on. If the overhead bins weren't there, we'd all get off quicker.
Oh, and on quicker. Are you kidding? That would save 20 minutes each way. So everyone would have to check a bag.
Oh, yeah. Unless it's a backpack that goes under the seat.
Okay, this is a thought. I mean, I get it. It would save a lot of time and a lot of aggravation. You know, there's always somebody that like wants to move your bag and put it somewhere else and then you got to go through like staring at your bag. Okay, this is definitely a thought. I get it. We're getting ready to be back in studio for another run of episodes of Better Halves. Tonight, I'm going to see Brett, his table reading, Dane Cook, Dean Edwards. This has been so much fun
too.
For me. I am so excited for him that it's sold out.
Me too. That's awesome that table read just sold out.
It worked so well. You know, you brought me into this space with Raw Comedy last year, Valentine's Day. We did that one-off with Matt Wright. That's when I really got to like vibe with this. And you also were the champion that when I was trying to brainstorm, you know, what comedian would be great to work with me, I thought a male, it'd be great to do dating questions if it wasn't two women, right? Because you're getting the same opinion. Mm. And I bring up Brett Raybould and you were like, yes, I just met him. This kid's an up-and-comer. We connected on that right away. And I was like, yes.
Absolutely. And it was a thing too, where I did an interview with him. So I knew him and know he's going to be a big up and comer. And it was somebody that you said too. And I was just like, yeah, you have to be comfortable too. I mean, I can't recommend anybody and you just try it out. Who knows that it wouldn't stick it possibly. Oh, I was all,
I just want to do everything that he's got going on in this city. And like when I get an event now, I hit him up. Do you want to come? Because I think my favorite radio shows, there's one in DC, the Sports Junkies, I love. Remember Morning Men was Evan and Babs. People that are on air together but are actually friends and do things together, it's kind of fun because you get more stories, things that maybe went wrong, things that went well, and you just build this like connection. That's what I think really comes off when you're listening to a regular listener of a show.
And not only a connection, it also adds another dynamic where you could get into stories. And that was one of the big things that I always loved about like Opie and Anthony too, where it was Opie, Anthony, and Jim Norton. But then you had the secondary cast of all the producers, Sam, E-Rock, Roland, and everything that they were getting into in going to parties. I remember specifically one time they were driving out to I think it was Anthony's house party on Long Island. And it was on their Vine. They saw Geraldo Rivera in the car, and Roland's just yelling at Geraldo, "Geraldo!" And he just turns. and just carrying like the bits outside the show that create more stories to bring back in. So Monday morning comes around. So you saw Geraldo on your wide in?
It's great. I mean, as a fan of radio and as a fan of shows and understanding, and also being around you, you're one of the more inspiring people I've met at SiriusXM. Of course, Sam Roberts and people. But when it comes to going the extra mile, I mean, you put so much time into all of the clips that we've had to promote Better Halves. I know how many hours. I couldn't be more excited to be. It makes me and Brett want to work twice as hard and be everything we can be. And just having that content, we know that we're in a clips world. If it wasn't for clips, we wouldn't know half the people on the internet.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those things when I first started doing it, like at first it was just the graphic design. Then I was like, well, how about I film this? And I was like, well, you got to be a one-man band on everything. And then just hone in on the craft. It doesn't really matter how much time it takes, but now you're versatile. Now people at work are saying, hey, can you mind helping me teach me how to edit this? Sure, we'll sit down and be able to do it. I felt like you always had to know a little bit of everything to make a product and make a show.
How did you get all these skills? Is this something that you went to school for, or are you self-taught when it comes to producing, editing, the content, the clips part of it?
Self-taught, I would say. It was funny. I had I was mass communications at King's College, and we were going over the original Final Cut stuff, and I had it on my laptop, and I would just look up YouTube videos or just play around with it and learning more and more. That one class we were going through Final Cut, the professor said, hey, can you go over to that group and help them out and show them how to do it too? I was like, yeah, sure. Absolutely. Why not?
But you use the tools that were there for you. You went and put in the time by watching YouTube videos and like gathering. It's a skill set and it's so valuable. And now it's kind of everything. If you can't edit some clips, you aren't even seen in this space anymore.
Yeah. It's
a fact.
Most new jobs now in the industry, you got to know how to do everything essentially too. Graphic design, audio, video, editing.
Everything. What would you say is your favorite part about being a producer at SiriusXM, Paul?
I like working in a live environment, like with you guys, with the shows that I previously worked on, because it takes the monotony out of every day. It's not Groundhog's Day. It's something new, something fresh is going to happen. Not every day is the same. And that's why I always love going into it, either covering news stories on the old shows or bringing in a guest that we've all worked on. It's like, something's fresh and new, and it's not stale every day. Because once it becomes stale, then it's not fun anymore.
And I think it also helps stay fresh that we're not in studio every day.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that is another thing, too, where when we set up our recordings and all that, we're like, well, we don't want to spend too much time and burn ourselves out and burn through content just so quickly. All right, let's save it and see what happens the next day, a fresh mind on it.
Yeah, it's great. I miss the in-studio vibe so much. We got used to doing everything at home during the pandemic. There's things that are great doing at home. I'd rather edit my photos and do all of that kind of work because I'm either going to be watching a game or listening to music or doing something to be distracted to somebody else. So there's things that are great to do at home. But being back at SiriusXM, it's important to remind everybody, you never leave a job in a bad way. When I decided no longer going to be on fantasy sports radio, I made sure that me taking that step down was still a great relationship. I still went into Sirius all the time. You still were able to reach out to me to do that show on Valentine's Day. Like, it's really important for people to remember, never leave a job in a bad way, because here I am happier than ever that I'm back in the door at studio and SiriusXM.
I never try to burn the bridges. I mean, there's some host that's come and gone that I'm just like, okay, well, I don't need to touch back base with in that, but I never get rotten or anything with them. But also, like, with Roland dealing with talent when he was a talent booker at Sirius, what we've come to realize is, like, yeah, it is a corporation, it's a show, but the relationships mean more too. So always find a way to work with somebody, and hey, if you need something, I'm here. If we could work together again, let's figure this out. But the relationships help and will help and go longer too.
I agree. And it just, it makes things easier. You do favors for people who do favors for you back. You build this trust with each other. You know you can rely on each other. And there's an excitement in working with people that inspire you. And that's what I'm feeling. And especially with this show, we will be back in studio starting next week. And I cannot wait. And I know like so many of my friends have said, Sirius is doing such a great job promoting the show on other channels because I only listen to sports channels like ESPN. And then, you know, at noon, I got to go over to McAfee on YouTube, even though he has been off for a week and a half now. And though I'm very happy that him and his crew are getting a vacation, my life is in disarray. There is no good content from noon to three, but I've decided I'd catch up on all the Rogan episodes that I haven't listened to. And I saved Aaron Rodgers and just listened to it last night. What a great episode.
I still have to listen to that one. I'm like you. I could go back and listen to it again. Like if it's somebody absolutely that I need to hear at the moment, like when he had like Tarantino or Louis C.K. on or Jim Norton, I have to listen to it right away. But other ones I save for a time where I'm like, okay, I could listen to this now.
Because they're long.
Yeah. And you don't want to miss anything. You want to hear the full stories.
And I don't love stopping and going back to finish the episode the next day. So I'll look at it like, I got 3 hours of this project I'm doing. This will be perfect. I can listen to this whole episode and wrap it up. But his show is great. You know, I'm a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers, so I knew it would be just great conversation. But for us, we also are going to have the opportunity where you're going to produce a live show for Better Halves this year in November at the New York Comedy Festival.
Yeah, I was already talking to some people with the festival and hopefully it's going to be an easy hookup, but it's definitely going to be interesting taking it out live, get to see some of the fans. Cause I mean, some of the listening audience, they got their own cast of characters in them too, where we could develop. I mean, I know on our last show, we were trying to come up with our fan name. So we got to figure out what that poll said too. So we have something to call them if we're going to do it live.
So what we're going to do is when our new show, our first one drops, which is Friday, March 8th, we'll do a poll that day. We'll put that poll out there. We'll pin it to our profiles and we'll see what everybody has to say because we're going to have to name our crew in case we want to have a little merch made. But doing a live event with Brett is going to be spectacular because he's so incredible. I've seen him do his play twice. He fills the room with his energy and this is going to be great for us. We've got a lot to look forward to. I'm going to make sure that all of my followers are following you because you put out some of the best clips and you keep me knowing everybody that you're interacting with. And I'm like, man, you're getting to meet so many cool people.
It is really cool. And thank you for that. Again, it's just like, the process we talked about, go back in, edit it. Okay, now that's a clip. Now I want to stack it so it's vertical or whatever the guidelines are for the videos now. It could change so concurrently every day of what the dimensions are and then doing the graphic and everything. It's just, it's a work process, but I like doing it and like putting it out. Not even to just like brag or do that, help promote the guests and just be like, hey, check out this cool thing I'm doing.
Yeah, it is annoying. Like TikTok has one format. You know, if you do the same for Instagram, it's going to be spread out too weird. Like they really want to make us have to work separately on every single platform. But Paul, I think
there's
so much.
If it's real, you have to have the dimensions set up perfectly so it fits into the grid.
Perfectly. Yes. Or it won't open properly. It'll look horrible. Or the logo will be hanging off the side like it is. But I can't wait to see you next week. Paul, I thank you so much for joining me and for bringing this inspiration to me and Brett and for also just sharing this fun with everybody. I think we're all this year, an election year more than ever, Raw Comedy Channel 99 is going to be a very popular listen because we're going to just try to avoid all the news and make sure that we're laughing a lot through our day.
Oh, absolutely. And I have some more dating stories for you.
This is great. I was thinking we're going to do something funny for the live show. Like maybe that's when I decide to sign up for a dating platform and we read my incoming messages on the live. Like we will figure something out, but I see you next week. Thanks for being here.
I've been a best half and a worst half.
I cannot wait. This is going to be best half and worst half. We'll get some for Brett as well. But Paul, thanks for joining me right here. I can't wait to see you next week.
Thank you.
What a great combo. I'm so inspired by Paul. I am thrilled that we get to be back in studio together again, creating this chaos that is Better Halves. If you are a SiriusXM user, app user, I mean, you can go back and you can listen to our whole library. You just search Better Habs. If you don't use the app, I don't know why you're not using the app. I find it, even when I had it in my car, I would stream it in my car through the app. I just like how easy it is to go back and rewind. Like, I can go to Fantasy Sports Channel and just slide back till I'm at a show that played earlier now, like 10 o'clock in the morning. I could be that, doing that at 5. It's very cool. If you're not using the app, our show replays on Raw Comedy Channel 99. You can check that out. You can check out that schedule. I'll make sure I get out. You can follow at BetterHavesSXM. So we will be back in studio. I had a great time having this conversation with Paul, learning more about him. Almost as much fun as we had at MSG the day after Christmas for WWE, which was amazing. And those MSG experiences, shows, concerts, games, wrestling, Ticket Rev. Why wouldn't you want to get your tickets and not pay a fee as a buyer? That is the best way to go. It's the only way to go. You can find out everything you want to know about Ticket Rev at TicketRev.com. You can go at Ticket Rev on all social, same on all platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Check out what Ticket Rev has to offer, because now is the time. The last time I sat with Jason Schatzky for dinner, who is the owner of Ticket Rev, the creator, the founder, the brains behind it, the 30 under 30 in Forbes. Like, this is a kid I met when he was 16. Again, just a brilliant mind. And now here we are. Jason's built a great relationship with MLB. Spring training is happening right now. And I love listening to people that go to spring training because it sounds like so much fun. It will be a retirement plan. 1 year when I retire, I will be like, I'm going to go to a month or two out in Arizona because it just seems so lax. But MLB around the corner, what games are you going to go to first? Where do you want to go to games? Are you traveling, going to a wedding? You're like, let me see if there's a game in town while I'm in Milwaukee. Do those things. Check it all out. You can download the Ticket Rev app to really see how this can be customized and make your experience so unique with Ticket Rev. Again, on social media at Ticket Rev, go to TicketRev.com, download the app, and check out what you could be making memories doing. Making Memories here in the mailbag is next, because this is what you've been waiting for. This is where we're at. If you want to be a part of it, ask LisaAnn@gmail.com. Here we are with the mailbag and the wild ride, not so much anymore because I just ignore those emails. And now that I have an out-of-office reply that I customize that just reminds everybody that the emails are for the mailbag, I find that they're only asking me out once instead of 100 times. Once they get that email, they're like, yikes, probably shouldn't do that. It's been a great way to be sure that I'm not cluttered with trash. We've got some good questions here. And again, ask LisaAnn@gmail.com. Subject matter says, mailbag question, if you please. Good afternoon, Lisa. I hope all is well with you. I'm sorry to say I don't follow all of your media interactions. So if my question isn't commonplace, one, please feel to disregard. When I do see a post or an interview, you're always doing some crazy shit like skiing, skydiving, or opening up your heart and personal thoughts, sometimes your body, to the public. This stuff is scary to a lot of people. My question is, how do you deal with your fears? And if you are comfortable answering it, what in the world makes the audacious Lisa Ann afraid? Thank you for your time. This email ends with two great quotes. The secret of success is to be ready for opportunity when it comes. We don't rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training. And that is from Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy. Great question. So, you know, it is scary stuff to a lot of people, but it's never been to me. I always was a kid that like was in the talent show. I sang Christmas Eve for my family. Like, I was always the entertainer. So there was no doubt in anyone's mind I was going to have no problem speaking in front of people. Or, you know, doing other things in front of people. What makes me afraid is a great question. It is a great question. I'm not afraid of much, but I am afraid of interactions and the obsessiveness of people. I'm more afraid of people than anything. So that would be my fear factor. There's not much. I live in a high rise. I'm not afraid of heights. I've already been in a fire in this building. Didn't freak me out. I didn't stop doing it. I did a Facebook Live while it was happening and there was water gushing down the patio. Not much like that scares me, but I will say that the people that become obsessive and send hundreds of emails, like sometimes if I read that stuff before I go to bed, it will actually factor into like nightmares where it's real. And so it's really just the unknown people or the known people that don't like me or that want to do harm to me. I would say that would be my most afraid. But other than that, as you can see, skydiving, skiing, not really afraid of much. But I appreciate the question. How do I deal with my fears? I tell myself that I have made it this far and that I've been okay. And I tell myself that if I'm afraid, I can reach out to a friend and let them know what my fear is. Because sometimes when something's bothering you and making you uneasy, just openly saying it to someone you care about and that you know cares about you can make you less afraid. It's like you put it out to the universe, you're like, you know, it's not as bad as it sounds, or no, it didn't sound that bad. So I think managing your level of what you're holding on to yourself and what you're releasing is really, really important. And I think in karma, and I think if you have good karma, you feel at peace. If you know you're doing the right thing, you feel at peace. If you go out in your everyday interactions and you show kindness to other people, I do think that that kind of insulates you and protects you. So that's how I will manage that fear. Here's another one. Hello, Lisa Ann. As someone who puts so much into her podcast, do you have some podcast inspirations you listen to? What are your favorite podcasts? I'm a cross-country trucker and I'm always looking to add new podcasts to my list to subscribe to. I look forward to your podcast and thought joining it via mailbag was the move. Keep trucking, Steve. Great question, Steve. I do have podcast inspirations. And when it's not football season, I get to go out of the box and not just listen to the fantasy footballers or all of the fantasy football podcasts that I absolutely love. It's not really a podcast, but it started as a podcast for me. When I first started listening to the Pat McAfee show, it was a podcast. Now I watch it on YouTube and now it's actually on ESPN. So I don't know if that counts anymore. Call Her Daddy is the best. Alexandria Cooper is so inspirational and it's so awesome to see how she's living. And I'm so excited she's engaged and I love her dogs and I love all of her posts. And she's just a great interviewer and just so easy to love. So that's one. Joe Rogan. I mean, if you're not listening to the Joe Rogan Experience, you're kind of missing out on conversations because so many of your friends are listening to it. So they're like, oh, did you listen to Rogan this week? And if you didn't, and you're like, no. So Joe Rogan, and I also listen to a ton of shows that I'm going to be a guest on. Or if I interview with someone that has a podcast and I go to do research on them, a lot of times I'll just subscribe and it'll pop up my feed and I'll keep listening. I've met so many great podcasters and I learn about podcasting through listening to their podcasts. So they might be strangers to everybody else, but because they either interviewed me or I've interviewed them, I feel like my way to stay connected with where they're at is by listening to their podcast. The monologue is such a great time to catch up, see what they've been up to. So I listen to a huge range, but those are my most important. Be safe out there, Steve, and keep trucking. We got one more here. This is from Jay. And this is just a nice email. And that's why I wanted to read it. Because I wanted to talk about the power of thank you notes that I think we've forgotten about and the power of just sending out some nice emails, some nice thoughts to people. There's nothing wrong with it. Since we are so internet driven and we're not doing as many meetings in person or out as much as we once were, sending that little email about something somebody did or does that you enjoy is so amazing. So, subject matter. Excellent podcast. I knew this was going to start out really well as soon as I saw that. Hello, Miss Ann. Just wanted to drop a note and say excellent and nice job on a kick-ass podcast. I discovered it just a week or so ago and wasn't sure what to expect, but what I found was an informative, entertaining, intelligent, educational, and happy show. I sure hope Jay leaves this as a review on Spotify or Apple, wherever he lists. This is the best review. I very much appreciate what you're broadcasting and how. From your general subjects to details into things like fluoride, etc., your show is awesome. Others seem to rely on crudeness or negativity. I tried to listen to Stern at about the same time. Never been a listener of his. I tried. I lasted about 7 minutes and it's junk. Your show is refreshing. It is as intelligent and as beautiful as you are. And I'm glad you seem to be having fun doing it. It shows. I will be a dedicated listener going forward. Please keep it up. The world needs more positive and worthy energy, and you are a breath of fresh air. Thank you, Jay in Arizona. Jay, thank you. Thank you for making that time to send that email. those are the emails that keep me really inspired to find guests and to do a great podcast each week, to listen to other podcasts and learn about more people and things. And I've learned that the people I like to listen to are in the same thoughts, right? McAfee, with how he opens every show, hello, beautiful people, how he gives away money, say something nice to somebody, it might change their life. You know, those are the people that I align with. And so I'm like you, when I turn on a podcast, like look, I listen to Greeny in the morning. As soon as Stephen A comes on, I have to go to my phone, SiriusXM app, switch over to ESPN2, because I cannot listen to that. The negativity just doesn't align with me. I don't vibe with it. I don't love it. And when some shows turn into like, they're telling you the news, which you could go and watch the news for, a podcast or a show is supposed to be an escape, right? We're supposed to like be peeking in on a conversation that we never thought we'd listen to because who knew about having it, right? Who knew I was going to bring on somebody that talked about fluoride? So I think it's really important to keep it light. And I think those people that like those things will all listen to those shows and they can all stay on their shows. We are going to keep it here, positive, light, fun, informative, all over the place, from stars in the industry to authors to just everybody will come on here, including my podcast, my host, my producer for my show on SiriusXM. So if you're liking this, Jay, I hope you tune in to hear me doing something totally different, just riffing with my comedian co-host, Brett Raybould, on Better Halves, which is on SiriusXM, Raw Comedy Channel 99. We'll be launching new shows. Our first new show drops Friday, March 8th. We're back in studio starting next week. I'm super excited about it. Jay, I will keep the podcast rolling and keep the good vibes going as well. I will be in Vegas for March Mayhem. Where will you be? Everybody goes to Vegas for March Mayhem. Come on, March 22nd. I will be at Vegas. The Las Vegas Sapphire during the day watching games and then back at night to party all night. If you want to learn more about me and my story, I've written two books. The Life was my first book, which was released in 2015. The Life Back was my second book released in 2021. I wrote it in 2020. You can get them autographed, personally autographed at my store, shoplisaann.com. You can also get them from Audible. You can also get them from Amazon. So if you like an audiobook, they are both recorded in my voice. Follow all of my social media at The Real Lisa Ann. Those are my only accounts. I do not private message, so don't fall for something on the internet. The only other account I have, well, I have one for my first book, The Life Back. We'll leave that over there. We're going to talk about Lisa by Lisa Ann. My wine that you are going to want to take some sips of when you visit the city. I have it now landed at my favorite restaurants in the city, as well as one liquor store in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, called Williamsburg Wine and Liquor. And you can go and check that out there. Follow Lisa by Lisa Ann on Instagram. You'll see all the locations. So when you're visiting the city, you can pop by and you can tell them that I sent you to have a glass of my wine. I look forward to seeing all of you at All Four Exoticas this year. We've got Chicago in April, Miami in June. Edison's in October this year, and then DC is in December. And again, all of that is on my socials. You'll find it there. Thanks to my producer from SiriusXM, Paul Orshowski. I loved having Paul on. I cannot believe I was his first interview. His social is popping because he does so much great stuff with SiriusXM, and he is the producer that is making our show what it is, which is awesome. And we owe a lot of that to Paul. So I thought bringing him in would bring you in on my fun that I'm getting to have with Better Halves SXM. Thank you all for listening. If you're a new listener, please subscribe, rate, and review. And for the rest of you, I hope to see you Friday night at 8 p.m. on my YouTube live premiere of this episode right here. Thank you for listening to an all-new episode of the Lisa Ann Experience.